Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, phones are open. You can join the show here. To kick off the third hour, the phone number for you to join us, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Nobody, and Chris joining you here tonight. We've talked about Texit, the Texas nationalist movement. They are suing Facebook and maybe able to overturn the Texas v. White decision, which has been the sort of the controlling issue that anti-secession people like to point to when they say that there's the Supreme Court has ruled that secession is not an option. That case could be turned over. We talked about that in the first hour of the show. Got some interesting calls in between there, talking about the big tech, mega tech corporations that seem to have a significant amount of control over all things internet. And we were discussing the way out of that situation is to compete your way out by creating better alternatives and utilizing those, creating new habits, stopping going to those old systems and going to these alternatives. Instead, it does take work. It does take time. It does take a little bit of money and a little bit of effort to be able to do this stuff.
I don't even know if you don't even have to create. This is the crazy thing. Like, I think you're even overdoing it. Like, you don't need to create the solutions. The solutions are already out there. You just have to implement them or join something that's already been rolled out that was implemented by yet another party.
Yeah, that's true. You don't have to roll your own server.
Right.
Somebody else is probably already doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing some of this stuff. Like, I run my own mail server. I run my own website. A lot of people say you can't run your own mail server. That's not true. You can run your own website. I have a whole business where most of our business, 99% of our business comes through our website. It's not through Amazon. It's not through eBay. It's not through these centralized platforms.
Yeah.
It can be done.
The alternatives are out there.
Yeah, my website lives on an Amazon server.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It was there and it was free, so I'm using it. Not free, but
until
already paid for.
Until they take it away.
Yeah.
You have a backup off-site, I take it, right?
I do have off-site backups, okay. Both of source and data.
All right, they take it away, then you can put it up somewhere else.
And so basically, I'd have to spin up another server and rearrange the DNS.
Okay, you can do that in less than a day.
Well, those are all things you'll fix eventually anyway, right? So yeah. Won't worry about it too much. But
let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. I got Sydney on the line in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Sydney.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Really good show that you got going on so far. I want to start out by saying I really like the new format. I think it allows you guys to get into the topics a lot more and
not
interrupt it a lot less. And personally, listening live, I can tolerate it a lot more. So that's
cool.
Very nice. Fun.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
We try to be tolerable.
All right, go ahead.
I wanted to talk about secession because it's come up a lot in this discussion and independence. And I wanted to throw some ideas out there. So something that came to mind was like Lysander Spooner in the 1850s. I think he has a quote along the lines of like the Constitution has, you know, done either allowed for all of this.
The Constitution has either authorized such government as we have had or it has failed to prevent it. In either case, it is unfit to exist.
Yep, that's right.
There you go. Yep. Yeah, and so this discussion about independence, I really lament that we have to go this route to achieve it as opposed to like an anarchist or voluntarist approach, which would be just totally bypassing it. So that caller, Jim, earlier, I think from Florida, Jim or James, he brought up some interesting topics about social media, basically acting as an extension of the government. I totally agree with that.
Before we get into the social media, I mean, you jump topics. Let's talk a little bit more about bypassing.
Yeah, I want to loop it back around.
You just mentioned it would be nice if we could just bypass the federal government. And, I mean, I would love to be able to do that, but they just will not be ignored, right? Like, these people are psychopaths.
And they've got nukes.
And they got a ton of money. And so,
yeah, you're right.
Unfortunately, like, I mean, we've had some friends who've tried this approach, and it doesn't work. I remember when Pete from Cop Block was of the mindset that he was just going to ignore all court orders.
And then what ended up happening was... That frequently goes badly.
Right. And then ended up happening was he got some sort of order against him for a judgment of, you know, $125 for some ticket or whatever. And one of his friends just went in and paid it for him. That way it went away, because we all, you know, everybody knew what was going to happen. They're going to put out a warrant for your arrest, and then they're going to come and snatch and put you in a cage. I mean, that's what's going to happen every time.
There are, you know, backing up, though, I think there are things you can do that sort of, in some sense, you can ignore them, right? Like, they can target individuals, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean they can target everybody, right? They're still technically limited in terms of resources, even though they seem to have unlimited resources versus, like, one individual, they technically don't against the masses. And I think cryptocurrency is kind of a good example of something where enough people doing it, it does actually make it really difficult for them, even though they will certainly take down certain people, you know, Crypto6, Ian Freeman, as an example.
Right, right.
So we can resist a little
bit. So just do whatever you want.
They'll come and arrest us.
Yeah.
pretty much.
Right. Sorry, yeah, well, Sydney, the last thing you guys talked about, wouldn't the talk about secession and independence and actually making moves in that direction spark them to do something? I mean, I think everybody can look at the Crypto6 case and see that could be an action on their part, you know, totally above board from most people's perspective, and it functions. On Freekeen blog, the top story right now, there's a bunch of comments, but one guy has a video there. And it talks about sort of how the deep state or how intelligence services undermine these movements. The first step is just demoralize. So if you can just do that, you don't have to go to the next step, actually, you know, confronting people on higher levels.
Yeah, I think that what you're going to see from the federal government with regards to an independence movement here is you okay?
Yep, I'm still here. Sorry.
Okay. So I think what you're going to see is they're going to infiltrate the movement. And they're going to bring in their advocates of violence, because the independence movement here is promoted as a peaceful secession movement. The whole point of the independence ballot initiative was that it would be a peaceful announcement that, okay, we're just saying bye, we're breaking up. Have a nice day. Good luck. And that would have been the end of it, and it would not be firing on a federal fort. You're going to see people entering this movement, mark my words.
Oh, yeah.
Who are going to be, they're going to be talking about racism, and they're going to be talking about violence, and they're going to be just throwing it out there to see if they can get anybody to agree to it, so they can bring people up on charges.
We've seen a few of those people already.
Yeah,
I
sure.
expect they
yeah,
will.
For sure. But
yeah, they've come into the chat room.
We don't
I think they're going to show up in real life, though, at some point.
You're probably right. But it's funny, because they've already done that sort of without sending in people, right? Like, they've already implied it and suggested it at various points, at various, hearings and things. I think one of them was the one where they tried to get the 13 reps disbarred. Or I don't know if that was right choice of words, but
not disqualified.
Yeah. What did they bring up there?
They alluded to violence at certain points and things.
Well,
of that
when you
nature.
Say they, who are you talking about? Karen.
Yeah, maybe Karen.
Okay. Yeah, she could be working for them. I don't know. Yeah. But I'm not saying she is.
All I'm saying
is
that
she wasn't part of the movement,
there's
though, right?
Other, right, but there's other Democrats and... Right, and I agree with you, but what I'm saying is that they're already trying to make those connections already.
Mm-hmm.
And with Free Staters, right, as an example, they said we're anti-LGBT... Q at the right. We had more LGBTQ folks at a anti-Free Stater protest that the Democrats put on than they had. Yeah. And
we're
it's 66%
LGBTQ in this freaking room.
Right, right. And they're saying we're libertarians or anti-LGBTQ. No, first of all, I'm part of that group that you're saying is anti-LGBT, and I'm a libertarian, and I'm here. And we had other people part of that group too there, and I think there was one person on your side that was. So
yeah, that's more of like a misinformation campaign than what I was talking about, which would be like an actual infiltration and trying to.
That's the next.
Yeah, you're thinking more agents provocateur.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're right, but that's the next step.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
You're talking about the next step.
That's what they're gonna do. Go ahead, Sydney. What else?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think by sort of getting you to disappear, so I guess I'll finish with this. There's been a lot of talk, like, you know, focus on the AMPS program and stuff like that. You know, just transitioning, you guys can continue the conversation. I got to go really quick. But sort of what's the plan for Free Talk Live? It's sort of the center of something. So, you know, them putting you away, putting Ari away, sort of making you disappear, taking you out of the conversation, let's say. We don't even know yet for how long. How is this going to continue? So I'll just leave it at that. I would have liked to talk about more, but I'll just call back another time.
All right, Sydney, thank you for the call tonight. The answer is it's going to be really tough. I don't have a real good answer for you. We're going to know more about Aria in March. She's got her sentencing, but unfortunately, it had to get pushed back again. It was going to be December, then it was going to be January, now it's going to be March. And so it'll be 1 month before my sentencing is when we're going to know what's going to happen to Aria. So that'll be a big question mark that we'll hopefully be able to put to bed at that point, and then we'll be able to kind of figure out from there.
Yeah, there's backup plans.
That has to start on the date of sentencing, or it can start as soon as the date of sentencing. So you've got, I think you've got 30 days from that date.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
So you can't appeal until the sentence is actually given.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where we're at right now. Let's continue. We got Sarah on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, God.
Yes. I just donated $500 to the New Mexico Dream Center.
To the what center?
New Mexico Dream Center. It's a human trafficking rescue place. So it's a drop-in center 3 days a week for the youth. Mm-hmm. From.
Do they do adoptions?
21 years old. No, it's so for the homeless young people to get services without pimps waiting there all day long to pimp them out. You know, so they got their own safe place. So that's what I believe in, and that's why I donated some money.
So just to clarify, this is the Dream Center helps people who are being trafficked across the border?
No, human trafficked isn't getting pimped.
Sex trafficking.
Oh, sex trafficking. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, and there's a big need in the state of New Mexico because they abuse women. The laws here are not strict against human trafficking or rape or any, abuse against women. Remember, we're per capita with the most untested rape kits in the nation.
No, can you define, Sarah, what is sex trafficking?
Sex trafficking is, you know those girls that you find missing and they're like 13 or 15 and they haven't found them?
I almost never find them laying around. I have to go, you know, get them from where they live.
A lot of South Korean women, they vanish. They just, they get kidnapped and they get taken to another country and then they are sold into slavery and they don't even know where they're at. And they made a movie about these girls that escape with their life. They managed some of them to escape, I don't know how, but they get caught, they'll be beaten or killed or, that they take that kind of risk.
Okay.
And then, I wanted to see these movies, and this is very close to my heart. And so, I was going to, ask people for funding if people wanted to donate. So the phone number is, am I allowed to? The 505. Let's see.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you can just give the name of the organization. You said it was the Dream Center in Albuquerque.
New Mexico Dream Center.
People can look that up if that's something they want to do. But I just want to know more about exactly what circumstances we're talking about here, because a lot of times when the term sex trafficking gets thrown around, they're actually just talking about adults selling sex. And there's sort of, these days it seems like, and I know this because we've been to some of these hearings at the State House where there might be a proposal to legalize or decriminalize prostitution, and they always bring up the cops who work for the state police or Manchester Police Department or whatever that are in the quote-unquote sex trafficking unit, and they try to make it sound like every person who is involved in prostitution is involved in sex trafficking. I just want to clarify that. Are you saying that prostitution is not the same thing as sex trafficking, or do you believe that that is always sex trafficking?
Well, the thing is that I believe that there are happy prostitutes.
Okay.
I mean, like you say, I mean, yep. The volunteers that have any problems.
Yep.
But many of these girls are kidnapped or they're wind up homeless, and then the pimps get them just because they are young and they're homeless because they're needy, and that's who they target. So then this place, they make this a safe place available from age 14 to 21 so that adults preying and on vulnerability of these young runaways, or they're being beaten or raped at home, so they run away and they wind up on the street and they wind up with a pimp. And so, they force them and they're vulnerable, they're abused, they're mentally, from in the homes to begin with, so they're easy to hook them on drugs or alcohol or force them into prostitution. And so that's the reason why I believe in making sure that they have a place like this. So my money will go to pay for their apartments so they get rescued from these people. And I was told that one of the workers that worked there, they got lured, tricked into some place, and three of the pimp people, they assaulted her and then left her laying on the street.
So do you think, Sarah, that one way that this could be made better, I mean, it's nice to give money to this organization to try to help people that are in need of help right now. I'm not trying to, you know, denigrate that or anything like that, but it's not going to solve the problem, right? Like, that's just trying to clean up the mess. That's trying to treat the people that have had this issue and try to help them, and that is a necessary thing that should probably be happening. And if it's being done voluntarily, then I think that's great. But how do we solve the problem of this happening in the first place? Do you think that legalizing prostitution would help?
You know, I have a moral thing. I don't think prostitution is the right moral thing to do. But what I do want is, you know, if somebody's listening to me in the state.
Whoa! Before you go on, just because you think something is immoral, does that mean it should also be illegal?
You know something? I just don't think selling sex and promiscuous is the right thing to do morally, and so I do not support that. I have a different perspective than you.
But that's
let's say somebody was a nymphomaniac. She was going out and having sex with six different guys every day.
Mm-hmm.
Does that get worse if she's getting paid? It seems like, I mean, if she's spending all that time getting laid, she doesn't have as much time to work. She's going to need some money.
Well, you know what? The thing is, I think it's immoral, and that I'm not to judge, but, and you know, they will pay for the consequences for... You could lie to yourself.
Let's just drill down just a little bit, though. When you say you think it's immoral, are you saying that it is immoral to simply have sex, or it's immoral to get paid to have sex?
I think that's all immorality, whether you get paid or not, or you flirt around with seven guys every day. It's all about the same. You know,
okay. Let's clarify again here, Sarah. I just want to keep asking you questions so I can understand where you're coming from. So you believe that having sex is immoral. Do you mean that it's sex is immoral outside of marriage, but is moral when you're married? I just want to understand when sex is moral in your mind.
Well, I mean, that's what I understand. That's the way that it's supposed to be. I mean,
okay.
Within a marriage, that's how I understand. Otherwise,
okay.
There's consequences that you people would want to, you know,
should
deny,
one of those consequences.
Do you have a particular religion?
She's a Christian.
She is a Christian.
I don't have a particular religion.
I thought you were a communist.
No, well, she is, but she's...
I thought communists were against religion.
Yeah.
Food is the opiate of the masses.
Sarah's flexible on her beliefs. Tell me this, Sarah. If it's immoral to have sex, do you believe that it should be illegal to have sex?
Well, I don't... No,
outside of marriage.
Sex with yourself.
I'm talking about with another person. Outside of marriage, with another person.
I think of masturbation as sex with someone I love.
I think that... I think there's consequences to pay for it. And then your morality is how you want to interpret it. Yeah, but it's immoral.
Okay, but you didn't answer my question. I mean, it's not a hard question. You're saying there should be consequences. Yeah, there may be consequences. You could get a venereal disease. You could get pregnant. You could, you know, have some other bad thing happen to you. But should one of the consequences be legal consequences?
You could spooge in your eye.
Should one of the consequences be that a man with a badge and a gun can throw you in a jail cell? Should that be one of the consequences for having sex outside of marriage or charging for it?
No, right now it's only when if you're asking money and soliciting money, if you're exchanging money for sex, I guess.
We're asking what you think it should be, not what it is.
Yeah, do you think they should outlaw people having sex outside of marriage?
Oh, if you're getting paid, you're charging money for making...
No. That's not business. The question.
Yeah.
Do you think people should be arrested for having sex outside of marriage? Not for being paid, just outside of marriage, period.
No, I mean, no. They should not be the... they should not be arrested.
Okay.
But the thing is that, you know... that's not... should be illegal. I mean, but...
should not be illegal.
I think there's no laws against it.
There are no laws against it. You're right about that. So, but do you think that charging for the service of sex, do you think that should stay illegal or should that be made legal? Because let me make my argument here for you, Sarah. I think one of the reasons why there's so much sex trafficking is because you're dealing with what is generally a prohibited marketplace. And whenever there's a prohibition in place, whether it be alcohol prohibition or drug prohibition or whatever, sex prohibition, then there's going to be a black market. And the people who are operating in that black market many times are going to be unscrupulous, possibly violent individuals like the pimps that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. If you want to disempower these pimps, then if you legalize prostitution, then it goes, it becomes more visible. Then there's going to be certain businesses that are going to be open, and people can just simply go in, get their desires satisfied by professional people who are likely being tested for STDs and things like that. It would be a much cleaner and much safer operation. I'm not saying this would completely end sex trafficking, but it would certainly shift a lot of the demand for sex to a legal marketplace. Can you see the benefit in that?
And another thing that I think is very important. I mean, people would like come knock on my door to buy weed from me because weed was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was selling ground beef out of my apartment, people would be looking at me pretty strange, going, why are you doing that way?
Yeah.
So
yeah, if you didn't have a farm, for sure.
if prostitution were legal and somebody was trying to get me to hire some girl, I would be saying, well, why aren't you on Craigslist? Or why aren't you advertising openly? Why are you trying to do this on the QT?
Something to think about, Sarah. Thanks for the call tonight. The number here, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. We got time for you if you want to join us here. 603-283-6160. 160. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA News Update. The U.S. imposing more sanctions against the Russian private military company, the Wagner Group.
Wagner is becoming a rival power center to the Russian military and other Russian ministries. Publicly, Prigozhin and his fighters have criticized Russian generals and defense officials for their performance.
White House National Security spokesman John Kirby said Wagner's deployed about 50,000 personnel to Ukraine to bolster Russia's forces. A Navy SEAL who was listed as an active deserter has died in Ukraine. Daniel Swift was a special warfare operator, first class, who had been most recently stationed in Coronado, California, according to his military bio. The Navy confirmed he had been in an active deserter status since 2019, but did not give any info on why he was in Ukraine or fighting there. At least seven U.S. citizens have died fighting in Ukraine since Russia attacked the country in February of last year. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
The nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
And Chris.
So we were going to get into a pretty big... at least a bill I'm pretty excited about, and I was happy to see as many people come out today as did come out.
That was
for
a great turnout.
This bill, yeah, this bill that would exempt dimethyltryptamine, aka DMT, one of the most interesting psychedelic substances and most natural psychedelic substances known to mankind. Would exempt this from the war on drugs. It would create an exemption in what's called in New Hampshire called the Controlled Drug Act. This was a bill submitted by Representative Matt Santanastasso. Unfortunately, he didn't have any co-sponsors on this this particular piece of legislation. Maybe he just didn't have time to look for it. I know he was pretty rushed to get everything in here. They didn't have a lot of time to. It's an election year, so there's like a certain shortened window that they got to kind of throw everything together and get it in after they get elected or reelected. It's a real short bill. I mean, it's you know, literally like a three-sentence bill that basically says to amend the existing Controlled Drug Act by creating an exemption for dimethyltryptamine. That's it. It says here, dimethyltryptamine shall be exempt from the provisions of this chapter. And this chapter is the one that prohibits the possession, the sale, and the blah, blah, blah of various different controlled substances as specified by the federal government. So New Hampshire, for the most part, kind of follows along with the federal government's scheduling system. So if something is on the federal government's schedules, it is similarly illegal in New Hampshire. Until we can finally abolish the entire Controlled Drug Act itself, which is the other bill of interest that, one of them. He's got a bunch of good ones. Matt Santanastasso, who is our friend.
Did he get co-sponsors for the other one?
I don't think so.
Mm.
But
should call our reps and at least the ones we know and say, hey, co-sponsor these things.
Absolutely. It is about damn time that we started seeing some principled legislation. Mm. This isn't decrim, okay? This is to exempt DMT from the Controlled Drug Act. That is a complete end of prohibition on DMT. You would be able to make your own ayahuasca
except
or whatever.
Except that the federal government would still be able to come in and arrest you for it if the mood took them.
Yep, that's true. Although that said, as the one of the guys who testified today, he was I don't remember the name of the church, but he's got his own DMT or rather ayahuasca church here in New Hampshire.
Oh yeah,
ooh.
That guy.
Yeah, very interesting.
We need to get to know that guy.
Matt Santanastasso.
Find out who his lawyer is.
Has his contact information. He testified today for this bill. It was a really interesting testimony. And one part of his testimony was that he was contacted by the DEA. That they came to talk to him, and they did nothing about what he was doing because he is doing DMT from a religious spiritual perspective with
sacrament.
His church.
It's a sacrament, yeah.
Wow.
And so they know that he's there, and they know what he's doing.
That is very interesting. Yeah. It makes me think that, I mean, eventually, as if more things make it into this in-between zone where some things seem to have been permitted for churches. I know that DMT has been returned to churches by the Customs Service more than once.
Really?
Because they said, nah, this is for our religion. We can do this. And there are some places where mushrooms or mushroom churches are being tolerated. It would be interesting to start something along the lines of the what is it, the Divine Life Church or whatever. They'll ordain you in
Universal,
a bunch of Universal Life.
Yeah, I think that was what it was.
Yeah, that's right. It would be interesting to do something like the Universal Life Church. But specifically what you would be selling would be the template to start a psychedelic church.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it would be a piece of work because you'd need, you know, a lawyer in each state where you had member churches.
What was it I heard that, I don't remember if it was during the hearing or if it was afterwards. I think it might have been as Bonnie and I were driving home. She was reading something about this church in New Hampshire, this DMT church or ayahuasca church. And
is this the one on the seacoast that just got shut down?
I have not heard about that. He did not say anything during his testimony about getting shut down. I think he's from Canterbury. Wherever the hell Canterbury is, it sounds like northern New Hampshire to me, but I don't know. There's 200 towns in New Hampshire, so
nobody wants to go that far north to shut them down.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think they can.
That far north to do some DMT, though.
They cited a couple of federal court cases, and I don't remember them offhand, but there's video of the hearing, so anybody who wants to dig in will be able to. The streaming video is already up on the State House channel on YouTube, and I got my own video today, so that'll come out at some point on the Freekeen Odyssey channel. But there's also the New Hampshire Supreme Court case that I cited during my testimony on the bill to let the state reps know, because this is a panel hearing, so it's in New Hampshire, every bill has to get a hearing, and so this is being heard by the Criminal Justice Committee. And so I informed them, as I informed them last year when they looked at the psilocybin decrim bill, I said, look, you guys are behind the times here. The Supreme Court of New Hampshire has already ruled in a unanimous decision in December of 2020, and it's one of the only courts in the country, by the way, to do this. I don't know if even Nevada has this, but New Hampshire Supreme Court ruled unanimously to overturn the conviction of a man convicted of possession of psilocybin mushrooms because he was using them for spiritual purposes. And the New Hampshire Supreme Court said unanimously that the New Hampshire Constitution's provision to protect religion and specifically your right to worship in the way that you want to means that the use of psychedelics like mushrooms and presumably DMT and whatever else would be protected under the New Hampshire Constitution.
Let me ask you something, Ian. I'm not sure if I fully followed what was said between you and the other guy, but am I correct in understanding that it's both legal at least for religious purposes at both the federal and state level in New Hampshire?
I can't speak to the federal one. They cited a couple of federal...
But that's what he was citing.
Yeah, he cited a couple of federal cases.
So in theory, it might be legal.
Yeah, like I said, I have not yet reviewed those cases. I'm not really sure
what
they said. Or
I understand you haven't reviewed them, but that's what he was citing was the federal case.
He was citing some sort of federal
cases. For religious purposes, yeah. Anyway. Interesting.
And he said the DEA met with him and then they left him alone.
Interesting. So one of the things is the DEA may interview you and then wait 5 years to make an arrest.
Right. Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily count on that to be.
No, you're right. I mean, that's not proof of anything for sure.
No. But they probably will come after you within 5 years.
Maybe so. But it was a really interesting hearing. I think it was better attended.
Well, you can avoid that to some extent by not being Ian.
Yeah, that's true.
But this guy's getting news coverage. I mean, they definitely have their eyes on him. Whether they're going to make a move on him or not remains to be seen. And again, like I said, I haven't looked at those cases, but I am interested in reviewing his testimony and making a note because I wasn't writing anything down at the time, so
sure.
I don't know what specific cases he was referring to. But here in New Hampshire, it is protected by the Supreme Court's unanimous decision. So, I mean, it's solid... solid case law here in New Hampshire. And the thing I told the state reps was, look, you guys need to pass this to get caught up with what the courts are saying. The courts are saying this is already legal for spiritual purposes, and there's no reason to be putting somebody in a prison cell because they don't know about the spiritual aspects. Now, the fact is, if you take DMT, you're going to find out probably real fast what the spiritual aspects of it are.
Like it or not, if you're a little bit broken, you might find yourself like Cantwell going, I want this to stop. I want this to stop. I want this to stop.
Were you there
if you're in the KKK, you don't want to take any DMT. It's a bad plan.
Exactly. So that's what I tried to tell them. I told them that last year during the psilocybin bill, and they didn't listen. They still marked the bill as what they call inexpedient to legislate. But, you know, you got to keep hammering at this stuff, so we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't control the state yet. We're just getting closer and closer every day.
Yeah, I thought there were some friendly voices, though, on the panel, on the committee today. Some of the younger Democratic reps actually seem to be on board with this.
It didn't seem that bad at all to me. I mean, it seemed like it was mostly favorable.
Yeah, and the only person who spoke against it was the state cop. They brought the state prohibition guy in.
They've spoken against other bills that passed, I can't remember which ones. But what I'm trying to say is it's not a guarantee they... Most people tend to, look favorably at, unfortunately, law enforcement.
Yeah,
and so it is definitely...
All he has to do is come in there and say, it could cause someone to have a car accident. And then he swayed half the committee with just that one statement.
Unfortunately.
Even though the dude admitted he didn't know what DMT really was, he basically admitted when he was asked by a state rep, he admitted that they didn't have... Well, he said he didn't know the difference between, like, ayahuasca or smoked DMT. I mean, like, these are critical key differences between how people tend to dose. He knew nothing, really, about the drug. That somebody in the state police just said, you need to go oppose this. And so he went and he just gave their usual standard line of drugs bad, okay? And then that was that he took questions.
I know there was something he wasn't able to answer, too.
Oh, there was a couple questions he couldn't answer. He could not answer. There was a younger rep who asked him the question of, essentially, how often are you guys coming across this? It's like, well, I don't really have any numbers. We don't really see it that often.
And it sounded like it almost never, like they almost never encountered it.
Well, if there was times, he would have been able to say it, right? But he couldn't.
Yeah.
And then another question was, okay, well, you mentioned car accidents. How often are you coming across people in car accidents who are doing any psychedelics?
Hmm.
And he said, well, I'll have to get you that information. I don't have it at hand.
How many people are actually capable of operating a motor vehicle, even badly, on DMT? Because I, for one, I don't move.
You're not getting off the couch.
No, I'm staying right the hell where I am until the ride has come to a complete stop.
To that end, the guy who runs the church, the DMT or the ayahuasca church, they're doing these ceremonies on a regular basis, right? They'll have 24 people at the church, and they'll have a shaman, and they'll have assistants, they'll have people there. And he was talking about the different roles. One of the state reps asked him about, well, what are the roles that people take on with the church to help with the ceremony? And he talked about the shaman, and he talked about just people there to help, like, clean out the barf buckets, basically. So there's a whole range of tasks. And the reason for that, Chris,
sounds like they need cleaner DMT.
No. Ayahuasca is known.
Oh, ayahuasca. That's you're going to puke if you do ayahuasca. Or peyote.
That's what I've heard. It's almost a guarantee. So you're talking about the different types of people, and he also mentioned people that help people to the bathroom during their trip. It's like, if you need to help somebody get to the bathroom, there's no way that person's going to get out to their car, find their keys, get behind the wheel, start the, all these things. You can't even make it to the bathroom without having somebody hold your hand.
I don't know. Drunken people are magic, though. I mean, I've seen people who couldn't walk, but somehow they drove. I don't know how they did that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bad plan. I'm not saying I approve, but there are some drugs that just, it's like crack. You can smoke some crack, jump out the third story window, and go run away from somebody.
You know, one of the things I wonder about is, whether or not, like, when they pull these statistics out, right, like, was it DWI as opposed to DUI, right? So, alcohol versus drugs. But I have to wonder if those statistics are sort of being manipulated in that when they make arrests, they're not necessarily people who were driving. They were simply in their vehicle who were, you know, getting high on something, right? And then it somehow ends up
some of those,
in that statistic, and they're using that to make people think that there's some sort of danger when there's
could
not.
Be. At least in this case, he didn't have any statistics.
He didn't,
in sight.
Which is interesting. So, which probably suggests that it was favorable to, you know, legalization.
Yeah, I mean, it probably doesn't happen that often, and it probably almost never happens with ayahuasca. I mean, the odds that somebody's going to go drive their car when they can't even get to the bathroom without having somebody literally show them where it is and, like, hold their hand the whole time is absolutely absurd. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, DMT can be like big dogs landing on my face. I mean, you're definitely pretty well detached from reality, or you're doing it wrong.
We had a military veteran testify on this bill. We had multiple ministers testify on this bill, and it was, I would say, a little better attended as far as testimony than the psilocybin bill was last year, which was just a decrim bill. So kudos to State Rep. Santin Estasso for putting this one forward. This is the kind of legislation we need to see more Liberty reps putting forward here in New Hampshire. We need to see more principled proposals. Like, no, we don't need to decrim it. We just need to end prohibition, and that's what this bill would do. So good for him.
It would be interesting to see if there are people on the left and the right who, if there was a way to cooperate with people on the left and the right who want to see this kind of thing happen.
I think that's what's happening right now. I mean, you've got a situation now where neither party really has control over the state house. It's basically a dead heat in New Hampshire State House right now.
Which is good for us because we're a swing block. So
right.
You know,
right.
If you've got a 50-50 house and you're a block, that's a good thing.
Right. You can work with whoever you want.
It's kind of funny. You know, it's like I often have been saying in probably the last year or so, it's we don't control the state yet, right?
That's right.
But. You know, we do have influence, and it's certainly been sort of decimated, you know, in what it, by comparison to what it was, right?
What has been decimated?
You know, just the, you know, the two-party system, I guess.
Oh, okay.
In New Hampshire.
Yeah, there. I wouldn't call it decimated. That would be one-tenth of what it was.
Yeah, there would
previously.
Only be two-tenths of one party.
All right.
The two parties were decimated.
It's been curtailed. So
what's happened is the libertarians have become a real threat to the status quo.
Yeah.
And there's a theory, I don't know if there's any way to verify this theory, there's a theory that there's more libertarian activists than there are Republicans and Democrat activists
oh, for sure.
out in the state these days. I don't know if it's true, but
well,
it's
when,
a good theory.
When we started, they said that the Democrats and Republicans each had about 1,000 activists. And so once we have 20,000 people moved, we'll have 10 times what they have. Assuming all of those 20,000 are doing some kind of activism, which may not be the case.
Nah, they're definitely not.
We only have a few thousand movers, I think, at this point, but it's still more than...
We still have a disproportionate relative to our numbers, number of activists.
That's true.
And that's what matters, and that's what's going to make the difference.
Yep. Activists like Representative Jason Gerhardt, who is
great activist.
He's got a lot of energy. I hope he doesn't burn out. He spent 12 years in prison.
I'm gonna say if he was gonna burn out, I think it would have
probably done
already.
That in prison.
Yeah.
Well, he got out of prison and he hit the ground running and just jumped right into activism. He was out at the state house, he was out at the governor's house when we were doing protests out front of the governor's house. Like while he's on probation, he's out there doing all kinds of activism. He's a really go-getter guy, and he got himself elected. He went door to door, as I understand it, in the town in which he lives, and that's what it takes. If you want to get elected in New Hampshire, if you're willing to go door to door, your odds of getting elected shoot up. And he got elected first time. He had never run for office before. He is now a state representative. And he had multiple bills that were heard today. One of them was an act that would restore firearm ownership to ex-felons in New Hampshire, with the exception of violent felons. So with the exception of them, it would do that. It probably wouldn't affect people like you and I, nobody, because we've got federal felonies on our rap sheet. But
that's a little weird and complex. I don't know how that how exactly that plays out, because some people in some states seem to get away with carrying firearms while having state felonies that their states aren't worried about whatever reason. See, that's the thing. I haven't had a chance to ask any of these people, have you ever run into a
fed? This was explained in the hearing, actually, and I don't fully understand it, but it's something along the lines of the federal law is dependent on what the state law says, and thus, that's why they can. I think that's the answer to the question, nobody. And that's why in some states it's not a problem, whereas in other states it is. And right now in New Hampshire, it's a problem. So,
but that wouldn't affect federal felons, right? That only affects state felons.
Would because it's. Oh. I'm not sure. This is what I'm not sure about.
It was hard to follow. Yeah. I remember what you were talking about.
Yeah.
One more law that we should try and get in if we can, either this session or next session.
Has to be next session.
Is start a get the state of New Hampshire to start issuing a money transmitter license for $1, no questions asked.
That's not a bad one, yeah.
Because having the state license gets you off the federal hook.
Wait, does it?
Yes. No, you still have to have both, as I understand it.
Only needed the federal if your state didn't offer one.
I would consult with an attorney about that particular viewpoint. That is not my understanding.
And just remember, even if you're compliant with the law, that doesn't mean the federal government won't come after you.
Well, but that would help in the case of the guy who they went after in Texas, who is now in federal prison, who they threatened him, and they said, well, yeah, we know you got the FinCEN permission slip, because he did. And then he went to the Texas Department of Banking, and he said, what do I need to get? I want to sell Bitcoin. They said, nothing. Have at it, like they do here in New Hampshire. Like, yeah. We don't regulate that. Mm-hmm. And so he said, all right, well, I got the federal permission slip. Texas says they don't have a permission slip, so there he goes. He starts selling Bitcoin. Then the feds come in, and they arrest him, and they say, we're going to charge you with money transmitter without a license because you didn't get the state permission slip. He says, well, there isn't a state permission slip. And they said, well, we're charging you anyway. And then we're going to charge your wife, too, unless you take the plea deal. So he says, well, I don't want my wife to get charged, so I'll take the plea deal. Now he's in prison for, I think, the next 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, this is the...
Hope she's still there.
I think this just demonstrates months. How...
He went in earlier in 2022.
How unethical these, you know, prosecutors and these feds are. They have no problem.
They don't care about the law
anymore than you do.
They just want to put Bitcoin people behind bars to, quote-unquote, send a message. So the final bill, so this bill to make it so felons can have guns in New Hampshire would be absolutely fantastic. You know, even if it still leaves some question marks with the federal government, to make it legal at the New Hampshire level certainly would help, and it would certainly help when we secede.
That would help, and having that at the state law, at the state level, would probably give us a great reason to reach out to all the felons in New Hampshire and say, hey, how'd you like to be able to keep and bear again?
Yep.
All you got to do is secede. We did it on the state level.
Yeah, that's a great point. And there's more felons now than there ever has been.
Yep.
The final bill that I was sitting there for today was...
How do I love thee? Let me count the felonies.
Was to end the prohibition on the possession or sale of blackjack slung shots and metallic knuckles. So brass knuckles are actually illegal to sell in New Hampshire, as well as these other things, and this would wipe out those prohibitions. You would then be able to possess and or sell those things, which is right in line
I
with...
I finally found out what the hell a slung shot is.
I had to look it up. Yeah.
Did you find the same thing as me, the monkey claw, the monkey fist knot?
Yeah.
So it's basically a ball tied up in a piece of rope?
That's what it looked like. Yeah. I'd never seen one before.
I've never seen one either. Apparently they were very popular with sailors back in the day when they wanted to go out and enjoy a prostitute without being enjoyed by her boyfriend.
These are weapons that were popular around like the 1900 turn of that century. Essentially, this is how far back these weapons go. Essentially, this is just an old law that doesn't need to be on the books, especially considering New Hampshire has legalized knives of all shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
That happened a decade ago in New Hampshire. So
just don't cross the border into Mass.
This one seems to be pretty clear. Like the state police signed the paper to say they were against it, but they didn't testify in this particular case.
Nice.
But they are still against it because they're against any kind of increase in freedom here in New Hampshire. And if you want to join the
decrease in overtime,
if you want to join the fun here, you can just check out the Free State Project. They've got great resources. You can learn about the migration of libertarian activists here to New Hampshire, and you can help make bills like this a reality, make them pass, and make the place more free. The more people that we can get here, we'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, freetalklive.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.